corner there around Silver Road, yeah. You turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I believe this is our 12th sermon in this study in 1 Corinthians 2. And the purpose in this study is to show the Christians that their maturity in the Word of God and their maturity as Christians is all a gift of God. And it is not to be wasted in any way. We ought to be like Paul. Paul said, grace is given to me, and it wasn't wasted. Same thing with us. That should be our mindset, Christians, to understand that we were lost and the Lord saved us. We were at enmity with God and God gave us love. We didn't know anything about God and God taught us. We didn't know anything about the scriptures and God taught us. As we matured throughout the years, and it does take a lot of years to mature and to mature well, and a lot of hard work and a lot of study. But the Holy Spirit must give us those things. They don't just come to us. And to, the Lord shows us here what it's like to be lost and what it's like to be a Christian. And the difference between the two. He says in verse 10, that God has revealed them. That is the things that the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, in verse 9, neither entered into the heart of man, the things of God, that God has prepared for them to love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit, he has revealed them to us. For the Spirit interprets all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man. That's all people know. Really, it is. It's all people do not understand God and God's word. This reason they hate something not so much. They don't understand it. So it will accept the spirit of man which is in you. Even though the things of God you have no man, but the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit always knows anything. The Lord can take the smartest people on earth and make them dumb just to re-teach them the truth of the Word of God. Because the things we grow up understanding outside of salvation is an enmity with God.
Amen.
All of it. verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, listen to the quote of verse 14, where we've been at. That's where we're going to start this morning, our thing. Says, but the natural man, that's the lost man, that's the flesh man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They don't get them. They don't receive anything. Why? Because their spirit is dead. And the Holy Spirit's not in them. And if the Holy Spirit's not in them, God is not going to teach them his word. He's not going to teach them his truth. Somebody might learn some of them, but they're never the same as what we've always learned. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can you know them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, we got down to the last part. And this is where we're going to end the day, is with this scripture. Because I have a lot to say on this spiritual discernment. So he said in the last part of verse 14, let's read again, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Why are they foolishness unto them? The word foolishness means silliness. That is absurdity, according to Strong. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? The word of God to them is silliness because it doesn't go along with fleshly thinking. It doesn't go along with human teaching. Human teaching is all about us, isn't it? I can do this. I can win. I can have victory. I control my own destiny. I can accomplish anything. Teachers will tell you can accomplish anything if you just try, but that's not true. Anybody tells you that's a fool. Well, so when God tells you you can't do anything, there's silliness unto them. Absurdity to them. Because how dare God have to do everything for us? We're not children. Well, we are children, aren't we? And we grow and mature. We're still children, aren't we? We never stop growing. We never stop maturing as Christians. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. So the law sees God and his works without reason or senseless, without reality. God really is the sovereign. God really doesn't. God really didn't relate. How silly is all that? See, it's silly and absurdity to them. God doesn't have to teach us. We have a mind. We have a filth we can learn. Well, no, we don't. Not the word of God, we do not. Word of things, yes, we do. How to be an image of God, we get that naturally, don't we? But how to love? How to love God? How to serve God? Worship God? How to properly do things in the Word of God in your life and be a mature Christian is all the gift of God through the Spirit. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why is it foolishness? Because they're not saved by the cross. They're saved by the good works. They're saved by baptism. They're saved by church membership. They're saved by something they do. The cross didn't save them. What Jesus done on the cross didn't save them. They could say that Jesus saved. They could put it in these big old prints on their t-shirts and their hats. They could sing their little Facebook and Twitter songs and all these other things they want to do. They're quoting the little scriptures that they use now. They don't believe that Jesus saved. Jesus don't have anything to do with salvation to them. It's foolish to say that Jesus Christ saved them. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God, isn't it? Yeah. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. There you go. God says I have to destroy the wisdom of the wise on this earth in order to make them wise Christians. And will bring to nothing the understanding of prudence. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where are the spirits of this world? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom, made the foolish the wisdom of the world? After that, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That is worldly wisdom. They don't know God. You know, all the quote unquote churches out there, all the different denominations out there that criticize us, sovereign great Baptists, and mock us and make fun of us all the time. Have no idea what we're talking about. They don't know God. They don't. They say they do, but they do not. They don't even fear God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to say that it was pleased. That's all it said was the preaching of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit to save yourself. It didn't take any works on your part. It didn't take any labor, it didn't pain. Jesus said, come unto me, all you laboring and heavy laden. I will give you rest. God went on to say in the second part of verse 14 of our text, not only do they not know them, but neither can they know them. You get that? He says in verse 14 of our text, neither can he know them. It's impossible. Okay? If God does not show it to you and teach it to you, you will never learn anything about God, about Jesus, about salvation, about the Lord's church, about any of this. They can laugh and mock and say all they want to. Them old Baptists, they just believe all this crazy stuff over there. That crazy stuff is the Word of God. Amen. They like to mock him. He said, neither can he know them because they do not know, they do not have the knowledge or understanding or the wisdom to know them, because everything of God goes against human nature and human understanding. Go to Romans 3. Remember in Romans 1, God talks about these foolish people. He names them as fools. And he says in verse 25, they're going to go on and create their own religion. I'm paraphrasing. They're going to go on and create their own religion, and it's going to place them instead of God. So, how are you saved? Not by Jesus. You're saved by your good works. Who can do good works enough to be saved? Don't you have to be pure? They're saved by their baptism. Baptism was never meant for salvation. By their church membership. You can't even be a church member till you're saved. Go to Acts chapter 2. But overall, they say the church started, which is a lie. And they'll tell you, after they were saved, after they were baptized, they were added unto the church 5,000 souls. So God went on to say in verse 14, the second part, not only do they not know them, but neither can they know them because they have no understanding. In Romans chapter 3, verse 11, God said, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that nobody that's lost understands God. Amen. And they, because they don't know him, they will not seek him. Amen. Remember, lost people are at enmity with God. God, over in, I think it's Psalms 14:1, when the psalmist wrote, I'll not have this God rule over me. A fool says in heart, there's no God, something like that. And Brother Hammer told me many years ago, he said, what that means is I have not this God rule over me. That's exactly what God's talking about here, isn't it? They will not have God to rule over them. We are proud, prideful, humanistic people when we're lost. We're only gracious after we're saved. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're in our text, we're going to go back up and read something. Everything about God is truth. I'm sorry, everything about God in truth is revealed or a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And everything that goes against God is human nature. Look at chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, right, back in our text, verse 12 and 13. Now we have received, listen, now as Christians, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we do, folks. It's not about flesh. It's not about humanism. It's all about the grace and gift of God. God giving to us everything from A to Z. God has given us everything we need as Christians to grow and mature. And he hasn't given it all to us the same. He's given to us diversity, diverse ways. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Mainly around verse 3. He doesn't give us all the same thing. I don't know why. Wouldn't life be a lot simpler for tolerating that? God gave us all the very same thing to understand. The very exact same truth. But he doesn't. We differ. We differ on this, we differ on that. It's not major differences. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. But it's differences, isn't it? Speaking of Romans chapter 1, go there. So the Lord goes on in our text in verse 14b, that because they are spiritually discerned, that's the last part of that verse. And this I'm going to spend just a little bit of time on, the rest of our time on this, because I have a lot of scriptures on the spiritual discernment. When the Lord says they don't understand because they're spiritually discerned, the word means spiritual discernment means without sense of proving or coming to a judgment on something. In other words, it was explained to me, I can't remember who, maybe John Hill, maybe somebody else, I just did not record him yet. Might start doing this all myself again. I don't know who it was that said this, maybe it was John Hill or someone else. And they said, it's like putting a puzzle together. That the Bible is like putting a puzzle together. Every time God teaches you something, you got a piece that you put in the exact place you got it. And them being spiritually discerned means they simply do not get it. They simply do not understand where the pieces go. Because they don't understand and recognize the pieces and such. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into lies, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, since they're spiritually discerned, and since they can't understand it, they can't put the pieces together because they're unclean. You ever been around someone that's down? Body odor, maybe they're poor, maybe don't have the money to change clothes all the time, or something. You know, they don't realize it, that they smell bad, because they're used to it. Sometimes, I'll wear a old baggy shirt, it's a restaurant. He. And Rebecca got on to me the other day. I said, you know, I'm just used to it. That's what I wear around the house. And I don't ever think to change my shirt or clothes before I go to eat. Maybe that's sloppiness on my part. Or maybe it's just getting old, don't care anymore. I don't know. But the same thing with lost people is they dishonor themselves by what they do, but they don't see it as dishonoring. One, they don't care what God thinks. And two, they don't care if it's dishonoring because it's kind of like you get a callus to life. I'm trying to think of the word more excuses. But anyway, it's when you get callous lying, you lie, it bothers you. You lie 2 or 3 times later, it don't bother you as much. You lie 100 times later, it don't bother you at all. So you just get where you lie all the time. So we remember after the fall of Adam, sinning, turning his back on God, and fled from the Holy God himself as he come in the cool of the day. In John chapter 6, if you will, God had to take the place of the seeker, didn't he? What did Adam do? Well, he hid from God, didn't he? And God said, Adam, we're up now. Well, God knew already where Adam was. God knows everything. But God becomes a seeker, didn't he? You know, you got all these preachers and churches out there to tell us that, you know, we're the seeker. But you have to make a decision for Christ. You have to choose Christ. You have to pray a prayer. You have to do this. You have to do that. You got to do it. God's not going to change your will and make you do something. It's totally up to you, and you're the one that has to change. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 44. You know what the scripture is. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Because his human nature is at enmity with God, he will never come seeking Christ. Never come seeking salvation. Now, we can be talked into doing anything. So, people think they're seeking Christ when they make a decision, or when they pray a prayer, or when they turn over a new leaf, or when they're baptized, or when they're working. They think they're doing something for their salvation. The problem is, God never drew them, and God never saved them. Just like they think they're brilliant in the Word of God, but God never taught them. Because they're spiritually discerned, they will never understand God. It's foolishness unto them. They laugh at us. They mock us. They laugh at Jesus. They mock him. They laughed at the disciples of Jesus and the apostles of Jesus. And they laughed and mocked at the churches all through history. Even killed them. Martyred them. Slaughtered them. While they were laughing at them and mocking them. The Lord said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me and draw him. Now, this leads to one big gigantic question, which is answered over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'm not going there. There's nobody can. If the Father draws you, can you not come? In other words, it's your choice, right? So you can't deny the Father, right? But God said over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's the calling of God. The Holy Spirit is the caller. They are the children of God. Every one of them. Everyone that God has called has come. You cannot refuse the Father's will. This started long before us. This started long before Adam and the fall. This started all the way in the eternity past when God elected us to be his children. And then God made us a fold. He gave us to Jesus. John 17. And Jesus tells us in John 10 that and all that my mind's going 100 miles an hour. All that hear his voice come. And then Jesus said, as men my Father gave me, I'll lose none. So no, there is no refusal. I remember back, I may have told you the story before, if not, if I did, I'm going to tell it again. My father used to tell the same stories over 100 times, and you memorize them all. But I was working at a store, a grocery store, and me and the guy there was some kind of Armenian preacher. I don't remember what his midwife was. He, some kind of Armenian. I think he was a Baptist Armenian, I'm not sure. But anyway, he was some kind of Armenian preacher. We were talking about my father, who at one time, when I was born in 1958, we lived in Commerce, Texas. He was a deacon in a Baptist church there. I can't remember that preacher's name. Hard to meet a preacher, man. He was at Nevada one time. Or, I don't know if he preached there, he was there at one time though. And I was telling him that when we moved to Sulphur Springs back in 1961, I believe it was, then my dad got out of the church, quit going, and he became an alcoholic. He said, well, you know, God probably called him to preach, and he just refused. That's his rejection. He quit going to church and started drinking. Well, I believe that because I didn't know no better. Now that I understand how God works, it was really stupid, wasn't it? It was fleshly teaching, wasn't it? Humanism. We don't reject the call of God. A lot of preachers say, well, when God calls you to preach, you know, I'll say, well, I was trying to preach back in 1982 or 83, whatever it was. They say, well, you never surrendered. God called you, you can't. Well, that may be true, but, you know, surrender is not a word that, you know, means that I didn't bring myself. God called my hand. But anyway, let's get on with this. So we need to cast out of our minds the idea that any human being has ever had a holy thought outside of God. The hammer. Or a love for the Holy God. So they have it. It's impossible for the lost people to love God, to hate it. It's a natural heart, therefore it does natural things. And the natural man is the enmity with God. That's what God says on Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34. This is why we understand that God gives us grace. God gives us sovereign grace. And that sovereign grace brings us into being. All humans respond to God. Nobody has ever rejected the call of God in any time. Not in preaching, not in church membership, not in salvation, not to go read your word, not to study. If God calls you to it, you will go and you will do whatever God tells you. You know, why ain't everybody going to church? Because God hasn't called them to a church. Think about that. Think about that. If the Lord builds the churches, if he says to members of the churches that pleases him, why aren't they there? You cannot reject to do God's will. Human nature is a universal human apostasy from God. Human nature is a universal human apostasy from God. Sin caused them to leave God, and they will never return. Look at Psalm 34. As saints of God, we are told in Psalm 34, verse 11 through 16, come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You have to be taught the fear of the Lord, Lord. What man is he that desires life and love many days, that he may see good? Keep my tongue from evil. That's a request, isn't it? He's asking God to keep my tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking God. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We can't do this unless God shows us the path. Unless God brings us to the point to do it. If God's grace was not on us, we would fall right back into where we were. This, we need to keep our minds on. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The Lord tells us that we need to seek these things, and we can only do them if God grants it to us. But it's our job to seek it. And the problem is, if God's grace does not bring us to the point to seek it, we will not do it. We won't. Let me just say this. We have nothing to be proud of. Because everything we are as Christians, God has made us. It is all God's gift to us. It doesn't matter what it is. As Christians, whatever we are, it's just like our life. Every path of our life is by grace. It doesn't matter if you're dirt poor or if you're filthy rich or in between. Whatever you are, God has made you that. We don't need to give ourselves credit for much of anything because we don't deserve credit for anything. Just like when Paul got to the point, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everything I am is by God's grace. Every good in me is by God's grace. Every true belief of the Word of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, and everything else, everything good in it, everything true in it, is a gift from God to me. Well, the Lord said to study, show thyself approved. Yes, you have to study. God's not going to cut your head open and pour the knowledge in. You study, God will teach you. You go to church, you listen to the messages, and God will use that time to teach you. Our problem is we need to study. Okay, I'm not going to get down all of this. I'm going to skip some. So let's go down to, because they are spiritually discerned, they are spiritually unable to examine the scriptures because their spirit is dead and they have not the Holy Spirit to teach them. Go to Ephesians 1, if you will. Yeah, I'm almost done. I got 10 minutes, let me finish it real quick. I skipped my cover. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Let that sink in. Let it soak in real deep. And remember what it said. If you want to study something, go home and study it. Look it up. Study it. Because He says, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Listen, verse 18. And the eyes of your understanding, listen, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, this is what was in verse 19. It goes on. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the workings of His mighty power. That's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to soak in. If you see it put in the context that it's really supposed to be in, and you start understanding, you know, God did give me everything I have in my life. I truly am what God has made me. I can only learn as much as God will teach me. The only truth I will ever understand is the truth that God gives me. Everything else is the truth. Everything else is the truth. We can't all know the truth, the whole truth, if we differ. Can we? Because God's word does not differ. It is in unity. It is in context. It is a whole together. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. We'll end with this scripture. So we go back and ask what we asked a few weeks ago. Why did the Jewish leadership and others crucify Jesus? These were supposed to be God's people, His nation, Jews. We're His elect people, but you know what I'm talking about, His nation of people. I mean, they were grew up all those years understanding the best they could the scriptures. But they were wrong on so much, weren't they? First, they didn't think any Gentile would ever be worthy to be saved. We were just human trash to them. They didn't want any Gentile to be saved. At one point, I said, all I wanted to adopt was Jewish wives and go out and get Gentile wives, and they were prettier. But to them, they were still human trash. The big debate in the Old and New Testament time coming in together was the Gentiles. Jesus said, well, we have a foe, and you're talking about up this Jewish foe. But they're going to be brought in, and they're all going to be, and we're going to be one. Talking about the Gentiles. And John Peter. We're going to be one. They just didn't know. They didn't understand. They were spiritually discerned. So he said in verse 7 and 8, but we speak of the wisdom of God as in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Everything's hidden wisdom until God reveals. You'll know when someone is officially, we know they're the elect of God, when they're saved. You don't know if your children are ever going to be saved. You hope they are, you pray they are, but we don't know, do we? I mean, I've got preacher brethren that asked me to pray that God will save their children. I understand. Been there, done it. Which none of the princes of this world did. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Spiritually, they had no true knowledge and understanding who Jesus really was. I don't know why. I mean, we went back into the Old Testament in our Sunday morning study and seen in the Old Testament describing when Jesus was coming, basically. That's what happened to a virgin. I never did find December 25th there, but we did find those things, didn't we? Had they known, they wouldn't have crucified him. Religious people to the hill, just not God's people. God never took his own. That's sad, isn't it? Some of them were saved later on. Over in Acts chapter 3 and 4 talking about that, but could you imagine being lost? Could you just imagine being a religious lost person? You think you're a Christian, you think you know it, you think you understand it, and you work so hard at doing your works and things like that, only to find out and it's all over with, and all said and done, straight by throne, you wouldn't even say it. You were never going to be saved because you weren't the elect of God. That's sad. I'm sad for these people. I don't curse them. I don't want to crucify them. I don't hate them. I'm sad for them that they didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Only those who have been spiritually enabled by the Holy Spirit can spiritually understand God. It's not people's fault, folks. I know I treat them that way, like, you know, all you got to do is read the scriptures. Can't you see? Here's the scripture. I line them up on Facebook, one after the other. I'm not anymore. I'm about down with Facebook. But while I'm up on Facebook, one after the other, I get 5 or 6 likes because people don't grasp what I'm saying. And a lot of them that do grasp, I wouldn't even care anymore. I'm sad for them. I'm sad for most people. They're not saved. I'm glad that God saved me, but I'm sad for them. I have sat down and prayed many times that God would save certain amount of people that I prayed for to be saved. That's not going to save them. God's not going to change whatever He's ordained, whatever He's predetermined, just because I prayed for it. But we still pray, don't we? We still trust God to answer, don't we? And He does. Sometimes He says no. It's not my will. As Jesus said, thy will be done. Let's all say. Have a good day.